Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who speaks to us in the words of our sermon text today, John 8:31-32. If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here the Lord Jesus was speaking to some Jews who were beginning to be his followers, but had superficial, unreliable faith because they believed him, but unlike other followers whom John mentions, did not believe in him. That is, they didn't believe in him as the light of the world and the promised Messiah and the bringer of life. He is urging them to progress in their faith experience, to abide in him and continue in his word, and to find the truth that sets them free. But in what follows here, we see the old sad story of those who make a good beginning in church and favor toward the Lord, but then they fall away and quarrel with his claims and offers of freedom from darkness and oppose him. Now, you may have noticed that this is not the text which is appointed for this day, which was read just a while ago, on which I would ordinarily preach. And there is a reason for that. This is going to be the sermon that I would have preached a year ago on the day of the CFW Walter Roundtable. But sad to say, both Roundtable and chapel itself were canceled because of the pandemic. But today we are holding the Roundtable with the theme that was planned for last year, Walther and Missions. It will repudiate the false idea that Walther was so involved in doctrinal controversy that he had little interest for bringing the liberated truth. He had little interest in the mission work of the church, but we intend to show that he did have a robust enthusiasm for bringing the liberated, saving truth about Jesus Christ to the world, both to those who have lost the belief that they once began to have, and to those who have never believed at all. Well, to be sure, Walther usually uses this text about the liberating truth to point to it, the importance of holding to this truth and its authority. For example, in his great book on law and gospel, he quoted it and commented that, quote, when people hate pure doctrine, this is proof that we are living in a terribly miserable era. But he also affirmed in a Western District essay the huge consolation of using this and similar passages as the Bible basis for viewing the church as the people blessed with infallible truth and freedom. An assertion, he says, that is an irritation to our opponents, but to us a very great comfort. This passage in John 8 may not seem like a mission text, but again and again, we observe that Walther could take and use any passage about Christ as bringer of truth, light, salvation, or freedom to promote Christian mission. And that is because he knew that in Christ, believers have treasures to share and a message to spread. For example, in a sermon on the angel's Christmas proclamation, we hear him saying, "There you see, my dear hearers, the invitation to rejoice is here issued to all people, that is, to everyone who is a man, therefore to every one of us, to you and to me. No, not a single one of us here is excluded." Again, in a sermon on John the Baptist and his confession, Walther bursts out, "If a great earthly treasure or fortune of which he is still unaware has fallen to a person, how gladly would not everyone desire to be the first to inform him of the joyful news? What joy! Should it not be, therefore, for us to spread the most happy message that Christ has come to be gracious to the guilty, to rescue the lost, and yes, to save all sinners?" Or again, he preached a sermon which he announced was emphasizing, quote, "the holy delight and duty of all Christians of leading souls to Christ." Here he says that, quote, "anyone who by God's grace has recognized that the Bible is God's eternal word, everyone who has experienced that the gospel is a power of God unto salvation to all who believe, anyone who can say, I know in whom I believe, I have the rock which secures my anchor forever, he then will certainly detect an urge in his heart to bring others to possess this grace in which he is so blessed." Later in the sermon, he affirms one of his favorite themes, that the Christian church is a great mission society. Every Christian within it is a missionary. Then he recommends, if we have a friend with whom we associate, let us think of this, that I should either bring him to Christ or keep him with Christ. Yes, even among children of the world, let us think that as spiritual priests, we should confess Christ to them in word and deed and be the means whereby they come to know the truth. These are only a few of the countless places where we can join with Walther in praying what he calls the daily mission prayer. Thy kingdom come. Amen.